and welcome to episode 3 of the Tower Genius podcast. My name is Steve Gazelle, one of the partners here at Tower Genius LLC, along with my colleague and business partner, Kevin Donahue. How are you, Kevin?
Good, Steve.
Good. I hear you loud and clear. Wonderful. So I'm down here in sunny Florida. Kevin is freezing. He is up in New York, and I'm down here on the lovely Gulf of Mexico. And so we're going to be covering all kinds of questions throughout these series of podcasts. Hopefully we can give you some valuable information that you can use and benefit from. But here's a very common question, and it has to do with, you know, what is this offer worth? And this is a very typical type of call that we get multiple times a month, sometimes multiple times a week. So here's a scenario. I'm a landlord. I'm a cell tower. I'm a property owner. I'm not a landlord yet. I'm a property owner. I was approached by a small tower company. They offered me $500 a month. They offered me 7% rental escalations every term. And they actually offered me a 10-year initial term. And they slipped in 17 5-year automatic renewals. Is this offer good, Kevin? Is it bad? Is it ugly? What can you tell me about it? What should I do?
It's ugly. Bottom line is they'll always break out comps. They'll say that there's 6 or 7 other towers in the area that are there paying this amount on. And just because other people took bad deals doesn't mean, you know, you should. So the only way to really be able to figure out what a particular site is worth is to figure out what it's worth to the networks that they're renting space to these tower companies. So you really need to sit down and look at the area, find out where the other towers are that a particular carriers may be utilizing, figuring out what it's covering. Basically, you're looking to figure out this proposed site on your property, what piece of the puzzle is this covering? So you need to take a look at that first off, and then you have to need to look at surrounding properties, you know, what zoning is, what your, you know, if there's a large amount of properties available, you know, if you own all 1,000 acres and in, you know, the search area, they really can't go anywhere else, you know, but if there's, you know, if it's 3 buildings sitting next door to you that are of equal height, they may have some other options, but that's why you really need to go to an expert. And it's not just an expert in leasing values, you know, because other people will talk about percentages or per square foot returns, and that's all nonsense. You need to go to a consultant that understands not only all the real estate and zoning implications and impact that it might have on your property or your neighbor's properties, but it also you need somebody that can figure out the radio frequency side of it. What the site's covering, how is it a piece of the puzzle? But when you're looking at numbers, you know, at 7% every 5-year increase, you know, you're making significantly less than what, you know, CPI cost of living is. So
even 10% for the initial term, 7% for the initial 10-year term.
We're in high inflationary times right now, so. You know, while it was steady at like 3% or just under 3%, so the carriers would give you 3%, it worked out for everybody. But, you know, now times are a little more unsure from an economy standpoint. And you have the situation where these guys are trying to drive their annual increases down. Well, while you may be making more money 10 years down the road with their plan, you are still making less money in that 10th year in buying power than what your site would have made the first year. If the CPI index is at 5% or 6% and they're offering you 7% every 5 years, it's as an increase, it's kind of crazy. Also, nobody should encumber their property for that length of time. You know, we always try to keep the numbers down to, you know, 25, 30 years max in a deal. Because you don't know what you want to do with your property, or somebody else who may own that property down the road may have a different vision for it. So, you know, nobody also will know what the value of these towers are, right? So, down the road. So, it's best to have an expert look at it to figure all of this stuff out for you. to.
Now, Kevin, one thing. Now, this particular disruptive tower company, let's just call it that, they have a certain strategy. These are very common type of proposals that we see. And almost without fail, like, what do you find when you look at, when you hear of a property owner that's gotten an offer like this? Like, what do you find within, like, spitting distance, maybe one or two football fields of their property?
In many cases, like, you have some small tower companies that are, when you see these kind of offers, it's usually one of two things. You have a small tower company that's trying to get into the business and grow, and they're kind of cutting their throats in the deals that they're doing with the carriers to try to stimulate getting these sites given to them to go build for them, right? Really dirt cheap prices. And they're hoping to make their money on the second, third, and fourth carrier that may come on the site. But some of them also, you know, are, when they say that they're disruptive, you know, it's a term I don't like, because usually that, to me, when people in business say that they're just trying to be disruptive, they're not really coming up with a better mousetrap, better product. Really what they're doing is just trying to make themselves such a pain in the rear end that somebody comes and buys them out and gets them out of the industry.
Disruptive is what my teachers in like third or fourth grade would tell my parents during the period.
You were doing. Doesn't surprise me. And then, some of them also could be parts of something that's like a lease optimization program, you know, 10, 15 years ago. I mean, you still get the letters, but, you know, people started sending out these letters basically telling you that, you know, threatening, saying if you don't lower the rate for, you know, AT&T or Verizon or whoever, that they're going to look to relocate their site. And what they call them is lease optimization letters. But really what it is a lease rental reduction letter trying to scare you into giving them that discount. Well, I think some of these tower deals are just more sophisticated ways of trying to drive pricing down. You know, we've seen sites where they're established sites that are 25 years old, and the tower companies wish they were paying less on them than what they are. They're still making huge profits, but they wanted to try and drive the pricing down, and they didn't like the terms that they were being given when they went for renewals with the landlords. So what they were doing is they were going out, signing contracts with a landlord down the street for some ridiculously low amount and telling that landlord that, you know, he had a chance at a site. In reality, they did not have any desire to move that site. They were just taking that lease that landlord had signed and went back to the original landlord and said, look, we have a site down the street we can move to now. So really what they are is more of a lease optimization on somebody else's property's lease than really coming to your door, you know, knocking on your door.
What about, what do you think about, like, some of these offers that you see, and, you know, there's a, when you take a look at it, some of the adjacent properties, you find an existing lattice tower monopole with a couple carriers on it, and would these tower companies possibly be poaching any of those tenants off of there? Is it possible?
They're going to try, you know, sure, if they build a tower. If it's not just a lease optimization to go back and force that landlord into some sort of rental reduction, if they end up building a tower, that's their whole goal. They're not going to make money on the terms.
What's the risk to the landowner that has this offer in their hand when they're faced with potentially one of these types of deals? I mean, what is the percent? What is the likelihood that they'll actually wind up with a sell side on the property?
From what we've seen so far, probably less than 15%.
Yeah. So the risk is, you know, you go out and you spend a boatload of money on an attorney or even on a consultant without getting the proper guidance and having having you want to build in some safety net into that agreement. So, and that's the kind of things that Kevin and I look at when we evaluate the site and we kind of peel the onion back and figure out what are they thinking, what's their motivation, and why are they looking at your property. So we are playing devil's advocate to try to figure out how to best optimize your lease and protect you, because they sure as heck aren't going to tell you what to do.
In a lot of cases, if they're really hot over the site, they're going, you know, they're willing to pay some sort of option fee that would at least compensate you for the legal work or consultants that you brought on. But in some other cases, they'll try and push it off, saying, oh, they have other options. And one of the techniques that we came up with was we'd say to them, well, if you're so sure you're going to build the site here and the landlord's going to make money, then just put a provision in there stating that if you don't build the site within 2 or 3 years, whatever the option length is, the period is, that you'll then compensate them. If you walk away from that property, then you compensate them for that $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000, whatever it is. And if they are not willing to do a deal like that, which only happens if they truly don't build the site they're telling you they're going to build, then they really have no interest. They're using this to try and, you know, push down the price of another site.
Right. So what I tell property owners that I talk to, you know, every day, you sell tower lease, it's got to be like an airplane that has two wings, right? You need two wings to fly. And it's got to be balanced. If those wings aren't balanced, you're going to crash and burn. So the same thing, you can get a great rental rate, and, you know, but if you have lousy provisions, it's not worth a whole heck of a lot in the long run.
Yeah,
so,
and if you're getting off on a bad foot, both parties with each other, not saying that there isn't always, you know, parts of negotiations where maybe things get a little stressful or something, but if it's going to be a constant fight on every aspect of every provision, on things that everybody else in the industry gives as a standard, you know, do you really want to live with this kind of tenant? Is this the kind of person you want to deal with, or entity that you want to deal with, to encumber a piece of property that you own for a long period of time when you can't even get along with them in the first, you know, couple of hours of dealing with each other?
Life, you know, prior to getting married.
Yeah.
So okay, that's yeah, and you have to look at it as a marriage, because you're gonna be connected to that for a long time. So, all right. Well, I think that covered that question, and we'll see you again on the next episode of the Tower Genius Podcast. Please visit us at towergenius.com. You can call us at 888-313-9750. Like and subscribe. And we would look forward to speaking with you. Schedule a discovery call with one of our receptionists. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thanks.